It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. 7 minutes past the 10 o'clock hour, and it's 44 degrees here on Peachtree. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning from 9 until 11 to take your calls and questions and talk about. We talked about this weird market week. Markets really didn't do a whole lot. The Dow was up a whole 11 points. The S&P up a little less than a quarter of a point. But interest rates actually fell, even though the Federal Reserve ratcheted rates up a little bit this week. Remember, the market of the bond market is a market just like the stock market. It isn't just dictated by whatever the Fed does. So we're here on a Sunday morning to talk about healthcare in America. That debate rages on. And then when will the next U.S. recession hit? We're not on recession watch. It's not as though this is happening tomorrow. But we've got to be cognizant that it's been a long time since we've come out of the 07-08 recession. And at some point, we cycle back to that. So let's keep our eye out for that, even though it's not anytime too soon in my book. We do need to understand when it could potentially start. So I want, we'll also go back to the phones. A lot of great questions today about pensions. We had Roth questions, IRA. Do you use these vehicles for real estate or not? We just finished up with a question about a gentleman who is now working for a company that doesn't have a plan. No 401k plan. What do? If you're not self-employed, you're not a 1099 employee, there are lots of options. You can do a solo 401k, you can do a SEP IRA. Lots of things you can do if you're self-employed. But what if you work for a company and you're a W-2 employee and they don't have a plan? To some extent, you're stuck. There are vehicles like a regular good old-fashioned IRA that you can deduct, set it up on an automatic basis. It's not the perfect solution. It's not a giant amount of money you can save every year, but at least it's a start. And that's what we just told Wayne to at least consider and get going on until the company itself then implements a plan, which enough pressure from employees, eventually that happens. So these are the things that we're talking about here on a Sunday morning. We're trying to help you get to a place where you can stop working. I wrote a book called You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think. 5 Money Secrets of the Happiest Retirees. It's just a book that'll help give you 5 clear checkpoints that if you can do them, then at age 55, you're done, or 60. When I originally wrote Retire Sooner Than You Think, retirement early in my mind was somebody who comes in and says, hey, I'm 62, I'm done, or 60. That's early. And as that's progressed over the last several years, I realize there's lots of folks that are ready to do this in their late 50s and at 55 and in their early 50s. And there's a lot of other parameters that go into that. One of those is maybe part-time work or some sort of hobby income or some sort of income so you don't have to tap into your assets too quickly or too early in the process. But retire sooner than you think. Beyond the happiness secrets, I've got 18 secrets of happy retirees versus unhappy retirees. And there's an awful lot that goes into that. But then the financial thought of, hey, if we can get to these 5 checkpoints and you're getting close to thinking about this, then it's a real resource for you to find out whether you can do this or not, meaning that if you can stop working or not. And if you can't quite stop working, what's that gray area, that gray zone to put you in a position to then completely stop at a certain age? Of course, you can find out about the book on my website, wesmoss.com, under the book tab. It'll take you to Amazon. And you can read the reviews. There's several hundred reviews on Retire Sooner Than You Think. Read the reviews for yourself before you decide to purchase or not, of course. I mean, I love, if you have already read the book, by the way, reviews are wonderful. And if I actually bought the book from Amazon, I love reviews on the site. And so thank you for that. The number in the studio, I want to go back to the phone. So if you have questions about an IRA or a pension or a Roth or all the things we're talking about today, or maybe it's just a stock market question. I mean, what do we do with a market that is up around 6% on the year? The bond market is flashing signals of rates continuing to go up, even though this week 10-year treasury yield came back down a little bit. What do you do as an income investor? If you're investing in dividend-paying stocks and bonds that pay interest and publicly traded REITs that pay out interest or distributions, and you own maybe closed-end funds or income commodities, the MLP companies that generate distributions every single month or every single quarter, how do you put all that together as an income investor? Do you use ETFs or individual companies or individual stocks, mutual funds? What if you're stuck in an annuity that you wish you weren't stuck in? Maybe you're just a CD investor and you're wondering about interest rates and where they're headed and what do you do? So those are the calls that we are happy to take here today, in addition to talking about the investment climate in the world that we live in. The number here, we're live in the studio, phone lines open, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, and we'll go to the phones here in a minute. Time for a quick weather update. Luke Moss, are you on tap for a quick weather update?
Yep.
Let's hear it.
Sunshine today with a high of 63. Overnight lows of 33 to 40. Tomorrow warm and sunny with a high of 73, low of 54.
Sunny, I like that. That sounds awesome, man. Thanks, bud.
Welcome.
What are you eating?
Mini weeds.
What?
Mini weeds.
Mini weeds? Okay. All right, I like that. It's better than Oreos in the morning. Thanks for doing the weather, buddy. And by the way, weather brought to you by Shoemate. Let's continue. Let's go right to the phones here. Wow, we've got some calls here. Buffy, if you can tell me where we're headed here first, where do we go? Maybe what we'll do while Buffy's taking calls and trying to sort this out, I want to go quickly talk about this recession. Let's get to this. This is important stuff. And something that is kind of an important thought on, we've had a recovery for a lot of years now, and at some point the recovery wanes, and at some point we've got to be prepared for that. The question is, what are some of the signs though to look for as we go into recession? So let's think of it this way. Right now we know that inflation is in check, but as you and I both know, we talked about this earlier in the show, the Fed statement this week, it's something that the Fed's watching very closely. They're looking for the 2% target before they get a little bit nervous and then they maybe accelerate raising interest rates. We also know that inflation, if we get an extreme with inflation, and anytime we've had extreme inflation, that's a killer for stocks. You don't want to see major inflation. The sweet spot is really where we've been for the last several years, 0 to 2%. Stocks love that environment. Stocks are fine as inflation goes a little bit beyond 2 and 3, and you get to about the 4% level. Stocks can still live with that, but that's when we start to see stock multiples have to start to contract a little bit. And that's because heavy inflation, so the erosion of our purchasing power, heavy for the dollars that we have today, they're worth less tomorrow as we have inflation, less purchasing power. Heavy inflation erodes the true value of what a company earns in that given year. So investors then reduce what they're willing to pay. So they reduce what they're willing to pay, their price, for the earnings a company's generating. Hence, price-to-earnings ratios, which we, of course, are important to watch, they contract. And that typically leads to a weaker stock market or weak stock market returns. Interesting, one of the most telling inflation measures to watch is average hourly earnings. Average hourly earnings is a simple way to gauge what companies are paying workers on average per hour, of course, as the name suggests. So as average hourly earnings go up, it's a sign that the economy is heating up, labor market's getting tighter and tighter, and companies have to raise wages to keep their employees happy. So as we've seen over the past 35 years, every time average hourly earnings gets to a 4% rate of increase, the Fed gets really nervous, and then they have to start tightening and raising interest rates, which then in turn puts the brakes on economic activity, and that leads to a recession. Average hourly earnings breached the 4% growth rate right before a recession hit in the last four recessions, 1981, 1990, 2001, 2008. Today, AHEs, or average hourly earnings, they stand at around 2.5%. So we're not there yet. We've got some room before 2.5 becomes 4. The labor market is not hot enough yet to get to 4. So the question is, how much time do we have? If you look at historical data, it takes about 5.5 to 6 years before average hourly earnings hits a bottom and then goes back up and hits that 4% danger level. And they hit a bottom basically in 2012, October of 2012. How long does it take then from 2012 till we get back to that 4% level? That would suggest that we have until mid-2018, maybe a little later, maybe early 2019, before that measure hits 4%, kind of that danger level again, which again, that's when we see the increasing likelihood of a recession. So again, this is an important variable to watch. Can't be looked at in a vacuum. That's not the only variable you can look at. There's no one silver magical bullet or economic data point that tells us when something will trigger in our economic crystal ball, but it's something certainly worth watching. All right, we're going to go do quick news, weather, traffic. Then we're going to come back and we're going to go right to the phones here, 404-872-0750. You're listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Hey, we're back live. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Let's go right to the phones here. Got a lot of calls here. Let's just go to Sharon first. Sharon, let's start with you. How can we help? What's going on?
Well, good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
My question is, as I turn 70 in October, and I believe at 70 and a half, you are required to take a distribution from both your 401k and your IRA.
Yes.
Correct?
Correct.
Okay. So I went online and looked at some chart, and for my age and what have you, it said 27.5, which came out to be about $15,000 for that first year.
Yeah, it's a little less than 4% of the value of your IRAs and your 401k.
Okay. And so that's going to affect me. I live completely on Social Security. How much of that $15,000 is going to end up, all of it's going to be taxable, correct?
Well, it depends on your tax rate, Sharon. If your only income is Social Security income and you don't have any other pensions or anything like that, then your overall tax rate, because your adjustable gross income will be relatively low, your overall tax rate will be low. So the $15,000 that comes out of the IRA, it's just like a paycheck back when you were working, except you don't have to pay FICA on it. So you don't have to pay Social Security, Medicare tax on it. And are you in Georgia, by the way?
Yes, I am.
So in the state of Georgia, once you're past 65, you've got a big $65,000 Georgia state tax exemption, and Social Security doesn't even count towards that. So you're not going to have to pay Georgia tax on it. You don't pay FICA on it. So really, it's just going to be whatever your federal tax rate is, Sharon.
Right.
And from what I can tell, and again, you haven't even given me any numbers, but it's probably, and again, check with CPA. I have to give you a disclosure on this, but it's probably 10% or even less.
So
it's because your overall effective tax rate is going to be relatively in check. That allows you to, your tax rate's not going to be that high. So you're going to do, so it helps to do some withholding. So when you take your required minimum distributions from your IRA, from your 401k, you're going to want to withhold money, and that money will go right to the feds, right to the IRS. That way you don't owe anything at the end of the year. And in your case, from what I can tell, if 15 is the only amount, that plus your social, that's your only income, then you usually want to withhold around 10 or 15% federal. 15% may be a little high, but then you get some of that money back at the end of the year. But it's not going to be a tremendous amount of tax. It goes back to your prevailing rate, Sharon. Which brings up a good point about understanding our tax rate when we get into retirement. More calls, questions straight ahead right here on Money Matters, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. 10:36. This is going to be a Facebook Live event I'm going to preview for you. And this is going to be on Wednesday, March 29th. We'll talk more about this next weekend. But Wednesday, March 29th, I'm going to be moderating a debate for the candidates of Georgia's 6th District. So Tom Price, of course, he is now in Washington. And we've got to fill his seat. So there are 18 candidates for this thing, Georgia's 6th District. So I'm going to be moderating a panel. Well, not a panel. It's a debate. And I've got 18 of these folks. So it's put together and sponsored by Brand Bank. WSB is going to cover this. And it's going to be at the Cobb Energy Center. But we're going to Facebook Live the event because it's already full. The event basically filled up in a day. So we're going to Facebook Live this either on Wes Moss Money Matters or on the WSB Live Facebook Live. But I want to at least preview to this. It's at lunchtime, so it's around noon. We're going to start Facebook Live this debate, the 18 candidates. So of course you're going to see, you've got Karen Handel, you've got John Ossoff, you've got Bob Gray, you've got Dan Moody. So you've got all the candidates, all 18 of them, going to be fighting for talk time, and it's going to be a pretty remarkable. Amy Kremer. So some of these pretty remarkable. It's going to be a remarkable election. So I'm excited to do. I've never moderated a candidate event like this or a political event like this. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Stay tuned for that. So with that, as we continue on here with Money Matters. Let's go to the phones here. Again, 404-872-0750. The number here in the studio. Let's start with Brent, who joined us from Dunwoody. Brent, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. What's going on?
Hey, Wes. How are you doing this morning?
Good, man. How can I help?
So, you talking about recessions reminded me of the last one, unfortunately, where I lost about...
I'm sorry to do that. I didn't mean to bring up the nightmare of 2007 and 8 and early 09. That was a rough period of time, man.
No, it's good that you did. So it's going to happen again. So my company, 401k, has obviously limited options with no capital preservation options. Large cap, mid cap, small cap, foreign, and bond. You can't take the money out. So what do?
So you have no stable value option?
There's some that say income. They don't really say stable value. Is that where you would go in that situation?
Yeah, you would typically... So it's going to be under... Maybe it might be under... In the bond category. So you've got your stock category. You've got U.S., international, under the 401k options. And then when you get to the bond or potentially income option... You'll see a couple of different funds. You have that in front of you?
I did not.
So usually not.
If I remember right, there's four that say bond and one that say income under that bond. I don't remember any saying stable, but
it might be. Yeah, Brent, usually I have seen it listed where you've got, let's say you only have four bond options, and let's say it's PIMCO Total Return and Lord Abbott Debenture Fund, which are typically, those are more traditional type bond funds. And then they'll list a really short-term bond fund at the bottom of that list. And even though it's technically a bond fund, it's pretty close to a money market fund. Remember that stable value funds, Brent, and money market funds are securities. So they're just really short-term safe securities. So there's almost this blur, this gray line from what a money market is versus a really short-term bond fund, because technically a money market is a bunch of really short-term high-quality bonds anyway, and then they mature every 30 days or 60 days. So it's technically safe and you're not worried about your principal eroding. But it's really a short-term bond fund is a pretty close version of that. So if you're looking for the safest piece of the 401k plan that you have that you have available to you, it will likely be one of those bond options, and it might say something like short term. It might say
stable value. I pulled it up.
You see one that says stable? Okay, that makes a lot of sense. That is your money market. That's the closest thing you have to a money market there, and they'll give you a 0.5%, 1% a year, and that is your safety net right there.
Okay.
All right, man.
I didn't realize that.
Yep.
Perfect.
Take it. Thanks for the call, Brent. I hopefully have a great rest of your Sunday. We'll continue to go to the phones here. Let's go to Rob, who joins us from north of the north. Rob, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can I help, my friend?
Hey, good morning, Wes. Thanks for taking my call. Quick question for you. Just kind of on a very high level, I'm curious to know what is reasonable rate, and I don't want to mess my words up here, but reasonable rate of return or income, how much income could you expect, say, for every million you had invested? What would be, if you never wanted to touch the principal, like if you wanted to not run the risk of running out of money, for every million invested, could you expect, you know, 50,000 or 80,000 or 100,000 in income?
Rob, I think you're really... So this is an important question to kind of clarify for what you're asking for our listeners. You've got a very reasonable question. Hey, how much should I, there's two ways you can look at this. How much rate of return should I expect over time in any given year? But that's not quite your question. You're talking about on the back end. It's like, once I stop saving, how much can I withdraw? What's a reasonable withdrawal rate over time is really what you're asking.
Exactly.
And that's probably the most important variable in any financial plan is that withdrawal rate. How much water is coming out of the faucet is the key to whether the reserves, whether the sink or the bathtub stays full of water or not. That is the question we all have in retirement. And it's of great debate, by the way. And there's been lots of studies on this number. The agreed upon number, Rob, in financial planning for many, many, several decades now has been 4.1 or 4.2% plus inflation every year, meaning that if we get you ratchet that number up for whatever inflation is. So if inflation goes up by 3% and your withdrawal rate, 4% of a million is 40,000, and it goes up by 3%, then it goes up it goes up by not 4% plus 3 is 7. It doesn't go up that much, but just the increase in inflation. So your 40,000 in a given year goes to 41. Or 41 and a half, depending on what inflation is. That is the conservative number to plan on over time. Now, there's a lot of other ways to look at this. I think of it from an you had also mentioned income. Well, if you think about having a portfolio that's got multiple different areas, and this is the way I like to look at it, we've got dividend paying stocks that are paying 3. You have bonds, let's say, right now in this low yield environment that are paying 3.5. You have REITs and MLPs that are paying 5, let's say. And they average out to, let's say the whole portfolio averages 3.5%, right? Just in income. The one distinction that we all have to remember is that we're all investing for total return, but total return is two pieces. The equation is growth plus income. You can't necessarily control the growth number in any given year because we could have a really good market and assets appreciate a lot, or they might sink in value in any given year. So that's variable. The income piece of the equation, so total return is growth plus income. The income equation, that's really steady. So if you've got a portfolio that's kicking out 3.5% every year, then over time, if you are just pulling that number out, even though your principal may go up or down or up or down, you're never dipping into it because you're just taking the income. And right now, that number, because rates are really low, dividend yields are fairly low because the stock market is relatively high, you've got a scenario where your income piece of the equation is pretty modest. It's not negligible at all, but let's say it's 3.5%. Then, so to me, I look at that number and I say, you could take that out forever, right? Why, if you're only taking what the portfolio is producing, then there's no way you ever spend down the principal, right? Right. There's some discipline that comes with that. And for most people, they need more than 3.5%. So the question is, how much beyond that do you take? And I think a safe number over time, and depends on how early you retire, I think of it as more of a 5% number over time without inflation. Because I also think in real life, retirement spending is deflationary. So we don't, a lot of financial plans, if you run a standard financial plan, it'll ratchet up your spending by 3% every year. So that if you're 60 and you're spending 50 grand a year, by the time you're 80, it's doubled, right? That doesn't really happen unless we get rapid inflation in America. From what I see in the real world, and I've been an advisor for almost 20 years, we don't spend a tremendous amount more when we're 85 relative to when we are 65, because life gets a little bit less expensive because we are doing a little less. Now, healthcare is the exception, Rob, so I understand that. Healthcare is still the wild card in all of this, but I would plan on conservatively a 4.25% rate of withdrawal for the rest of time. So on $1 million, that's 40 to 45 grand a year, right? Or plus inflation, or you can look at it more of a static 5, but you don't want to start out, if retirement starts at 60 and it's an early retirement, taking a full 5% that early in the cycle is a little bit too much. So you want to start out as low as you can on you want the faucet to be only open as much as you need. So you want to, you'd preferably like it to be in the 3.5 range early on, and then slowly grow over time. So the older you get, it can maybe even be above that 5%. But over your retirement lifespan, you want it to average around that 5 number.
Okay.
And that way, and even the William Bengen study that says 4.2% plus inflation, that shows that no matter what market cycle you're investing in, and this is effectively a balanced portfolio, no matter what 30-year period you're investing in, if you're only taking 4.2% plus inflation every year, even if your timing's terrible, Rob, you don't run out of money for at least 32 years. So that takes you from age, call it age 65 to age 95, 98, which for most of us is okay. We've got to run here, but Rob, have a great rest of your Sunday, and thanks for listening to Money Matters.
Thank you, Wes.
We're going to come back. Again, if you'd like to find me and the Money Matters team, easy to do so. We're right here in the world. We're right in Atlanta. My website, wesmoss.com, WESMOSS, contact button, upper right-hand corner. Happy to talk with you and your family, husband, wife, you individually throughout the week. We're easy to find, and you can just email me right from wesmoss.com. More Money Matters straight ahead right here at News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. Hey, we've got a weekend prize back. I guess we do weather quick first. Sunshine today, high 63. Overnight lows 36 to 40. Tomorrow, warm and sunny, high of 73, low of 54. Weather brought to you by Shoemate. All right, weekend, McDonald's weekend prize pack. Let's do this. We're going to do this a third caller, 404-741-0750. Four tickets to the Atlanta International Auto Show on March 22nd and 23rd in Building C of the Georgia World Congress Center. And four tickets to the Spring Atlanta Home Show, March 24th through 26th. At the Cobb Galleria Center. So glad they gave us the building number of the auto show. That was nice. So again, 404-741-0750 is the prize line. Miss Buffy on the line. Caller number 3, let's do, for this wonderful weekend prize pack to the auto show and the home show. Cool. Do we have time for one more? We don't. We just don't have that. I wanted to get to that. Why don't we wrap up with, you're going to hear a lot about healthcare, but we've got to be careful about, and it's such a polarized debate, and I'm not here to get political. It's not my job on WSB Radio. But it is to try, we have to make sure we're reading through these just polar opposite views on what this health, this new GOP healthcare plan is really going to do. Remember, the headlines this week read that 24 million people are going to lose their healthcare. Yeah, and we're going to save, the deficit will get reduced by $337 billion over 10 years. You've got to be careful about how you really see that, because they're, the CBO and the Joint Committee on Taxation has been extremely off on these predictions. Not because they're bad at it, it's just that it's hard to predict. You're talking about the comparing two separate healthcare plans. One's not even enacted over an entire 10-year period, and how people behave and how exchanges work and how we respond to competition. So we've got to be really careful about looking, reading too specifically into how these estimates really are. So we're going to continue to follow this very important debate. Healthcare is a giant part of the equation when it comes to retirement and what it does to the economy. It's a sixth of all gross domestic products. So we'll stay tuned for that. Want to find me and the Money Matters team throughout the week? Easy to do so. Go to wesmoss.com, upper right-hand corner. There's an email button. Of course, you can listen to this show via podcast, Wes Moss Money Matters on the podcast app. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. Stay tuned for more of the best programming on the planet right here. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.